Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. This is not Gary Wellings. This is Pastor Richard Dietering joining you today. Gary is out on assignment again today. I almost wanted to say good morning to you as we came on the air, because joining me in the studio, normally when he joins me, or I join him, is way early in the morning on the Abolitionist Roundtable. We have Phil Stargell joining us today also. And today's a little bit of what we'll call on the drift, or we'll call it Wham Soup. We've got we have Phil from the Abolitionist Roundtable. You know me from my Moments of Clarity. And we will also have joining us in just a little bit, Linda Hughes from The American Dream. So pretty much your whole Saturday lineup compressed into one show almost. So,
yes.
But hey, real quick, I have to take care of a little bit of business. But to start out with, if you want to call in to today's show, the number is 734-822-1600. Feel free to join us on air. Call that number. Eiskelman Equipment, they sell tractors, LS Tractor, if you know anything about farm tractors and small component tractors, as well as full-size tractors. LS Tractors, they carry Coyote tractors and zero-turn lawnmowers, so if you need to plow a field or mow your lawn, make it out to 284 East 6 Mile Road, Whitmore Lake, Michigan, or you can give them a call at 734-994-6000. I'm sitting here looking at the Current, at their ad, and there's this little compact tractor. It's got the front loader on it and a backhoe, and my wife would love it. Believe it or not, the way to my wife's heart is not a mink coat or a diamond ring. It is a front loader. So I'm going to have to take her out to Whitmore Lake after the show, I'm sure of it. So welcome to The Current today. Before we get started, there's a cut I want to play. It's going to be of a speech that most of you are familiar with, but it has everything to do with our first part of the show.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
You know, Phil, when I hear that speech still, it just touches me deeply to hear that speech. And one of the things I found about that speech is today in some colleges, that speech would be considered to be offensive.
Yes.
That one point of being that to be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. They say that's racist.
Yeah. And everything is viewed through the prism of racism today. Every incident that happens, they turn it into a propaganda for the pet project, which is right now, to take your and my Second Amendment rights, our free speech right, and basically nullify the Constitution.
What I find really interesting about this, I was talking to a young man, and you'll see the segue of where we're going with this in a second, folks. I was talking to a young man, and he said, it is improper for us to expect us to judge the character of a young black man because of the situations that they grow up in, as they are not treated equally, they don't have the same rights, and therefore don't have the opportunity to develop character.
Wow.
And I can tell you, the man I'm sitting across from me now is full of character. You know, Phil, I have to say, you're full of it.
Well, I think that that would be a true statement on both sides of the divide. You know, because like most people that believe that character is something that should be given to you or assigned to you, or you know, it's a sense of entitlement when somebody to believe that he hasn't been given an opportunity to develop character because he's poor. That's crazy.
Well, I find it extremely amazing that the one that really launched the civil rights movement would be Martin Luther King, would have his statements to be called racist today. And not even allowed in schools, because you can't make statements anymore like being colorblind. I know what they mean when people say that. That means that they're not going to judge you whether you're black or white. Mm-hmm. They're not going to preset opinions of you based on your color. Mm-hmm. If they mean that they don't recognize color, that'd be like sitting in a room of a bunch of redheads and having one with brunette hair. That's going to stand out, okay? Mm-hmm. Physical characteristics we notice, but we don't judge people based on physical characteristics of who they are or what they do or what we expect from them. But apparently, we have got to watch what we say, because if we say we are going to judge you by the content of your character, apparently that has given an unfair advantage to white people.
To me, it shows how bankrupt we've become in this country, because everything should be judged on as being able to develop your whatever talents that you have to the highest. And to expect the biggest accomplishment out of yourself that you can get, that doesn't have anything to do with somebody bestowing that upon you. You know, this is why I always said that the self-esteem idea was a flawed concept.
Right.
Because, you know, to tell you that you can somebody can give you self-esteem, to me, was a very flawed concept.
Agreed. Now, the reason I bring all this up is because one of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, Marissa Janai Johnson, for those of you who don't recognize the name, you might remember her watching the news. She is the one that when Bernie Sanders was up to give a speech, she went and took his mic away from him.
Yeah.
And she's with Black Lives Matter. She came out recently and made the statement to state all lives matters is a racist statement. Her basis is about as unfounded as the statement I gave you about judging a person by the character. She says, because Black Lives Matter would not be necessary as an organization if it wasn't for, this is quote, you white folks, unquote. Mm. Therefore, for us to say all lives matter is racist. However, I'm sitting here and in front of me, I have a Bible. Mm-hmm. And that Bible tells me that Jesus died for all, which means Jesus sees that all lives matter, right?
Right.
So, I mean, under her very concept, that would make Jesus a racist because he died for all people and not just one race.
Well, she's a part of the party that threw religion out of their convention 4 years ago, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could talk to her about the wonders and the greatness of the concept of Jesus Christ dying for the sins of everybody, and she would still say to her, "That's your idea, your concept of a white Jesus Christ, and all of that." I mean, man, they would reject it.
Well,
because they are bankrupt when it comes to the adhering to the concepts of Jesus Christ.
When I think of here's the problem I have with the Black Lives Matters movement. And first of all, I'll sit there and say, I believe all lives matter. If anyone out there thinks that statement is racist, well, tough, because I do believe all lives matter. Okay, every life.
There are people like Jennifer Lopez that said all lives matter, and she took a lot of flack.
A lot of flack.
Yeah,
and here's the problem. Is we just had a couple shootings. Mm-hmm. Now, we had the one shooting in where the guy was in the car, the girlfriend live streamed it from her car, and talked about it. And now more is coming out about that. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, she told some lies. And I'm telling you, even the mainstream media is backing off of her now. You know, she was going around. She was making quite a bit of money on the rounds speaking about this. She's actually on a GoFundMe page. They have, and I mean her, the gentleman's sister and the family have received tens of thousands, even $100,000 on the GoFundMe page over this. But now more is coming out. For example, the guy that they shot was a suspect for an armed robbery 2 days earlier.
Wow.
And in the video, there's one clip where you see that the gun is actually on his lap. So when you hear the police officer yelling at the woman, don't go towards your boyfriend, don't go towards that, it's because he actually had a gun underneath his hand closest to the driver's side window.
Wow.
So, and that is available. You can see it online. I'm not just spouting this stuff off. So
he was at that time shot.
He was at that time shot.
Yeah.
So
how did he get the gun there?
Well, here's the thing: is there's a lot of stuff that is streamed in what she's stating that we come to find out isn't true. She says at the beginning that in there that we were pulled over for an out taillight,
mm-hmm.
but you have with the police dispatch the recording of that. He says, "I'm pulling this guy over. He looks like the suspect." So, and he gave the reason to dispatch why he was pulling over is because this guy apparently looked like the suspect, the armed robber. Right down to the hair dreadlocks and everything else. Now, he was in the passenger side seat. I can't tell you how the officer saw him, except possibly at a stoplight or whatever. It was enough for him to have cause and tell dispatch that he looked like the suspect of the armed robbery 2 days earlier. So, I mean, there's stuff coming out with that. But after these shootings, let's say that cop was wrong and he did wrong, that cop needs to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say that right there. Yeah. If the cop had no reason, and if that was done completely out of racial stupidity, that cop needs to pay for it.
Well, there is. I don't think any rational person would say if it was a bad shooting, that he should not pay. But there are people that want to believe that because of some of the high profile incidents that happened, because these people were acquitted, that there is some privilege associated to being a policeman and shooting somebody.
Now, here's my problem on all this. After these happen, we have a protest in Texas.
Yeah.
And cops get shot.
Yeah.
You don't know who these cops were. They could have been the one that was out there supporting the communities that you're sitting there saying they don't back.
Well, we do know that some of them did that night.
Yeah, I know. So, that very night. Exactly. Yeah. What I'm saying is, but they went out and they shot very innocent men who had families to go home
exactly.
to. They were taken out, and they seemed to justify it by saying, well, this man was shot, so we're going to shoot, quote, some of yours. And I've actually heard that quote, you know. So it's when does the hatred stop? I mean, it's just going to keep rolling on and on and on and on. And it's not just, and I'm going to say this, and I wish lovely Linda was in with us right now, because it's not just black people being racist out there for Black Lives Matters or the white people out there being racist for white lives. The groups are far left that are on Black Lives Matter. We know that some of their funding through different chains comes through the Soros line. We know also that a big part of the Black Lives Matter is old white hippies.
Yes.
And as Linda was saying earlier in her show, they got to experience a Black Lives Matter march, so to speak. And I think there was three black people in that thing. The rest were old white hippies carrying the signs. I think it's time where we are stuck in this situation of, and we've talked about this many times, identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seems to think that their group deserves privilege. The white people group, the white supremacists, believe that white people deserve their extra. You have the Black Lives Matter that think they deserve their extra stuff. You have the LGBT movement that deserve their special laws. You have all these different groups that want government to pander to them. instead of sitting there saying, no, one rule, one law, you know, for all.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you kill somebody, it's a hate crime, and you get everything that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit somebody, you're going to pay for it. Doesn't matter why you hit them, you hit them, right? We don't see that in the laws today.
No, and that's why they've done such a good job of making the Constitution irrelevant. I mean, they're going, the idea of a person coming to this country and getting assigned rights that you and I don't have should be offensive to everybody. You know, the argument against affirmative action was that it was a concept of giving people things that were not they didn't earn, and
right.
it would eventually cause problems, and it has.
That's a huge entitlement program.
Because what we've done is we've made the sense of entitlement. We've made it almost a right, and nobody should have a sense of entitlement. I don't care who they are.
Hey, let's go real quick to Mike. He has a comment to make on Black Lives Matter. And Bruce, hang on, we will get to you. But Mike on Black Lives Matter, you there, Mike?
I am. Yes, I am. First of all, Black Lives Matter is paid for by George Soros to the tune of $33 million. So the authenticity of that group is just ridiculous. If they are so concerned about black lives, I strongly suggest they go to the city of Chicago, to the South Side, on any weekend. And I used to live in Chicago, and I've got a lot of friends in Chicago, and they tell me, do not go into Chicago. You're taking your life into your own hands. When you have 60 shootings in a weekend and 12 to 15 to 20 murders, and most of them in the black community, this is where they should be. Not marching in tearing down and burning down streets and causing havoc, but they should be in the community stopping black on black crime. But that seems to, if you happen to say that, you're called a racist.
You're absolutely right. And a few things that you said of very importance there, and I kind of touched on one of them, is the group is funded by George Soros. And George Soros has one thing in mind, and that's to cause as much disruption in our country today as he possibly can.
And I want to ask one question of the Justice Department. If this man is causing turmoil and this man wants to cause revolution in this country, then he is a subversive. He should be arrested and jailed under the RICO Act and everything he has taken away from him. But I don't see Mr. Obama or Ms. Lynch or Jez Johnson or any of the people in power doing anything to stop Mr. Soros.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you can ask that to the Justice Department. I'll try to get them on as a guest.
Good luck.
You can ask them that question. Or hopefully they're listening to us today.
Well, I'll tell you.
Because I would like an answer to that myself.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When Loretta Lynch decides to get off her big fat butt, it'll be a cold day in hell. Thank you.
Hey, I got to take this next call. I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm going to have to put you behind one other call because, well, this caller happens to be the show host. I can't tell him he can't get on the air. Gary, you there?
Oh, hey, Pastor Rick, thank you so much. And Phil, for filling in for me. I really appreciate it. You guys sound great down here on the web. So
well,
keep up the good
much.
Work. I wanted to call in and say that. And the fact that you two guys are in the studio right now, you know, maybe we can all take a minute and say a prayer for our police this week during the convention and make sure that they all stay safe, because I think we all know there's going to be a whole lot of bad things happening down in Cleveland this next 5-6 days. So
I would love to do that. Since your show and you gave me permission to say a prayer on there, I'm going to do that right now, Gary.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our police officers and for our peacekeepers throughout this country, Lord. We pray for you to keep them safe. We pray for you to give them continued courage to face what they have to face out on the streets today. Lord, we pray for their acceptance, for people to understand that their work is important, for people to understand that what they are doing is to help and protect them, that they are not vigilantes, they are not criminals, and the criminals are not victims. So, Lord, we just pray that you put it in the hearts of all the people that the police are there to protect us. And, Lord, just keep them safe. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm not going to keep you because it's like you're reading my mind as you do the show today. And just to reiterate that we all know that these protests are bought and paid for by the man you just spoke about. So I'll let you guys get to it. Say hi to Linda when she comes in, and I'll see you guys all next week.
She promised me she'd be in today, and then she asked me five times, are you sure you want me in there? Are you sure? And I says, Linda, I don't know how to take a hint. Yes, I want you in here, so I don't know where she is. But she said she'd be here, so I'm going to take her at her word.
All right.
You have a good time, Gary.
All right, thank you much. We'll see you all next week, and thanks again. Yourself.
Hey, Bruce, we're going to get to you now, Bruce.
Hi. Hey, guys. Bruce. Phil, good to hear your voice again, and Pastor Rick is wonderful as always. You mentioned Soros. Well, Soros is a symptom, just like Obama's a symptom, Leonardo Lynch is a symptom. You know, all these progressives are symptoms. What we are looking at here is a 100-year-plus plan to take this country down, to destroy it from within. You know, by attacking and taking over our institutions. I don't know why we don't have any leaders in positions of power in this country. We have people like Paul Ryan or Boehner, or well, maybe I don't know. Maybe not those guys. We need people that are going to be forceful, not just stand up and speak out, but actually take the fight to the progressive left. I mean, look at what they've done over the past 100 or so years, Phil. Look what they've done, Reverend or Pastor. First, they zeroed in rather on the education system, you know, and they destroyed that. Look what we have now. Then they went after God in the classroom. They went after the religious institutions. Look where they are. The popular culture. Look where it is. It is a sewer. It's an absolute cesspool, gentlemen.
Well,
Bruce, and the life issue as well. You know, these people are they're not going to stop. They're relentless. And we have to start getting in their faces, getting in their grills, and start saying, no, this is our nation. It was founded on certain principles that are timeless, that are immutable, and which are the very basis of our free republic. And we cannot and will not allow you to go any further. We're going to start turning the clock back. We're going to start turning things back the way they should be.
Bruce, just to add on to what you're saying, is I've had people before tell me the terrible thing is prayer's out of school, and I say, well, no, you got to start prayer in your home.
Yeah.
Right now, there is a movement. There is a movement within the atheist community, the communist movement, within the socialist movement, to make it illegal to raise your children within a faith. Actually,
yes.
They're going to call it child abuse if you raise them as a Christian in your home. That is what they're trying for.
Sounds like the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, guys.
Right. Exactly right.
Well, Putin did it. He banned evangelism.
In his country.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I looked at Obama, it looked like he was thinking, man, I could do that. All I had to do is one more executive order.
A lot of Christians that get behind the Democrat Party, which is the Socialist Party, and they don't understand that socialism and Christianity can't work together.
Nope.
Actually, if you read scripture, because socialism wants to eliminate Christianity, because if you put Christ first, you're not looking at the state for hope.
So and you know, guys, there's one particular demographic group in this country.
Real quick, Bruce, because we're coming up on a hard break.
Which has absolutely been destroyed by the secular progressive left, and that is the black family. The father was taken out of the home 50 years ago with the promise that the government would come in, take his place, and support the family. And look where we are now, guys.
Absolutely right. On that also is the break part of the black family has caused so much of their own problems. And a lot of that was caused by the welfare system.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they would not allow people to be on welfare if the husband was in the house. So with that in mind, that forced divorce, that forced the breakdown of the black American family, which then destroyed the moral within that, within that particular part of society.
And the morale.
And the black community, the black family was the most religious-orientated part of American fabric.
At one point, yes.
Most
of our
today,
now they're careening down the path to extinction.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Bruce. We are coming back here after the break. We'll be talking about religion and global warming.
Yes.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Indiana Governor Mike Pence introduced as Donald Trump's running mate in the presidential race.
Describing himself as a Christian, conservative, and Republican in that order.
Donald Trump understands the frustrations and the hopes of the American people like no leader since Ronald Reagan.
Trump also hopes to unify the Republican Party with Pence, noting the Indiana governor endorsed Texas Senator Ted Cruz before the state's primary.
Fox's Jared Halpern. After a failed coup, Turkey has closed its airspace to all military aircraft.
And that means U.S. air operations at Incirlik Air Base have been ground to a halt. That base is used for flights conducting airstrikes in the counter-ISIS campaign. Pentagon spokesman Peter Cook says U.S. Central Command is working to adjust flight operations to keep those airstrikes going.
Fox's Jill Nato. Turkey's called on the U.S. to extradite a Muslim cleric it claims was behind the failed coup. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
If you believe politicians should obey the Constitution and they shouldn't spend more money than they have, you'll want to join the Belleville Tea Party on Monday, July 18th at Sam's Place in downtown Belleville. Dinner and social hours start at 6, enjoy good food, socialize, and interact with other patriots who are striving to keep us free. For more information, call 734-756-8266. That's 734-756-8263. Joyful Marriages celebrate National Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, July 24th through the 30th. Families young and old, big and small, are invited to the NFP Family Picnic 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, July 24th at VFW Park with Children's Play Area in Royal Oak at Campbell and Lincoln. Burgers and hot dogs provided, bring a dish to share. RSVP by calling 313-451-NFP. Find out more about NFP at nfponline.org. The Leslie Science and Nature Center has several events coming up in August, including Sunday afternoon naturalists, reptiles and amphibians, critters up close, raptor feeding, searching out the birds that live in Black Pond Woods, and a good old-fashioned campfire circle. To learn more, visit lesliesnc.org or call 734-997-1553.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And we're back. This is Pastor Richard Dietering. I'm filling in for Gary Wellings today. when we're on break, I go through the current newspaper we have sitting in there. It's kind of funny. It's his show, and sure enough, we have his paper here, the current. And I'm going through it, and I've made a decision. After the show, we're going to go up to Burroughs Roadhouse in Brighton because they have a prime Angus burger there for only $5.
Mm.
And I recommend anyone to go there. And if you go to Burroughs Roadhouse today, please pick up a copy of The Current because inside it you're going to find some coupons for $5 off any two entrees or $15 off any four dinner entrees, some half-off coupons, 15% off coupons, lots of coupons. But also they have bands that go there in the evening. Sounds like a real fun place to try out. So give the Burroughs Roadhouse a check. Go in, stop by, and I might see you there sometime grabbing a burger. So we're back. We talked last hour about Black Lives Matter, and we kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the lovely Linda Hughes to join us on the Black Lives Matter. And now that we're talking about something else, she walks in. So,
what about that Black Lives Matter?
Uh-huh. Hey, we're just talking. Wanted to hear a little bit about your experience you had with them. Over the weekend or the last few days?
We accidentally, Wednesday night, we accidentally ran into them, literally.
What were you driving?
We met friends for dinner down at the Black Pearl, which we'd never been to, a couple of friends of ours, Brad and Laura, said, hey, you guys want to join us down here? We thought, we actually try to avoid Ann Arbor. It's kind of funny. You know, everybody says, oh, you're living near Ann Arbor. Isn't that great? That's such a great town. We try to not go downtown Ann Arbor just because, So we did, and as we were leaving, we noticed all of a sudden there's about 300 people right on Main Street in Liberty, wow, right there in front of the restaurant with the Black Lives Matter signs. Now, the odd thing that we noticed right away, of course, is none of them were black. Truly, there were like three black people. Everybody else was like older Ann Arbor hippies with the signs. So we thought, oh, so they're not really committed, but they were big in numbers and they were loud. They had the megaphones and everything. So Theron, of course, went out into the street and mixed it with them a little bit. I told him he should have taken a selfie for the Wham website. But, I mean, they didn't seem, they certainly weren't enraged or anything, but it's just interesting to watch. And if I would be very curious to know if you went up to one of them and said, what is it that you're fighting for? What is the big injustice? They probably wouldn't have a whole lot to say.
Amazing you brought that up, because when I deal with most of these protesters that I've run into that are stuck on ideology, they will recite bumper stickers to you.
Right.
They won't really tell you what they stand for. And I find that there's three questions that if I ask them the three questions, see, I didn't know you were going there, but I wrote down the three questions so I wouldn't forget them. I ask them three questions and they'll come up and give me this bumper sticker statement and I'll ask them, why would you say something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll stammer and give more bumper stickers or something like that. And you try to push them to it. And then the next thing is, well, what brought you to that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
And they really can't answer.
A two-part question. Two-part. That's bad.
And the third one is then, have you considered researching or looking at blank? And then fill in something that is counter to them. And they will not have looked into anything else. So those three questions tends to knock anybody who has what I call bumper sticker ideology off their feet.
Right.
And I get most liberals with it.
Yeah.
Well, the one question I would ask them is, do you believe that aborted babies are black lives? Because almost 45% of all of those aborted babies are black babies.
Coexist, woohoo!
Yeah. So if you are concerned about life mattering,
yeah,
let's take a look at that, because there are 3,000 of them babies aborted every day.
Point I just tried to make, if you ask a liberal that, he's going to change, or she's going to change.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Hey, we got Ken waiting on the line. Ken, how are you doing? You want to talk about prayer in school?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that that is one thing we have got to keep out of the public schools is prayer. There are too many faiths out there. We don't want to have a problem with prayer fellowship. Now, I've commented that I'm an Orthodox Lutheran, and I cannot pray with anybody that their teachings are in conflict with my beliefs. And there are other people out there that have similar beliefs. Like, I can't pray with a Roman Catholic. I can't pray with a Pentecostal or Charismatic. I can't pray with a Protestant. And I sure don't want to be praying with a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist.
So your prayer group is pretty small.
And so, since we practice, people of my faith practice prayer fellowship based on Romans 16, 17, and 18, the whole idea is with those you pray with, you are saying that what they believe is okay. So as a Lutheran, if I'm standing with a Catholic and I'm praying with them, that I'm saying that it's okay for them to be a Catholic. And the same thing would go if I'm standing with a Pentecostal praying with them. I would be saying that it's okay with me that you practice that faith. Now, I can be friends with them, which I am.
Hey, Ken, just I know where you're coming from, and first of all, I'd say that if you firmly believe that praying with anybody outside your faith would be a sin, I'd say stick to your guns and do what you feel right. I would never cause a brother to fall. But let me give you an example of one time I did pray with a Muslim. He came up and he said, Pastor Rick, will you pray with me? And I said, absolutely. And he told me what he wanted prayer for. He was going through a court trial and everything else. So I started out, Lord, I pray that you show your heart to this man, that he can accept you as his Savior. And he says, you understand I'm a Muslim? And I go, yeah, but you understand I am a Christian. So what else do you expect me to pray for you except for your salvation?
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say that you got to follow your faith, and you got to follow your dictates that are within your faith. I certainly do appreciate the faith that you do have, Ken. So keep going strong. Something else?
Well, just trying to clarify once again. The whole idea is there's an old saying, at whose pulpit you worship, their doctrine you embrace. And so that's how we look at prayer fellowship.
I understand. I am one that would tell any Christian to stand strong by their doctrine and beliefs.
You guys take care.
You too. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Ken.
So what we were going to go into and talk about, I don't know if you people are paying attention to what's going on in our country, but our Senator Gary, I was going to say Gary Williams, Gary Peters.
Did Gary run for Senate, and I don't know about
him? Yeah.
He's been missing a few shows here and there, so I wondered what he was up to. Leave it to Gary.
A number of the Democratic senators right now are pushing to bring certain think tanks under the watch of Congress to come in and give testimony and really just harass them. And these are think tanks that that fight against the concept of man-made global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And I say man-made global warming because, well, nature does some really bizarre things on its own without man getting involved with it.
Yeah.
So God's good like that. But
the left calls it man-caused.
Yeah, man-caused.
Global warming.
And Congressman Gary Peters is one that's signing on to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our senator, and we need to let him know we're not happy with that. And all they're really trying to do is silence the anti global warming people.
Right.
And as we're doing this, I've got this series of books at home, and I brought one in with me, and it's put out by Harvard University. Who else? this particular one is called Islam and Ecology. And what it does is it shows that the center of the Islam faith is actually keeping the earth green and warm and beautiful and everything else. Now, the funny thing is they also have another book that they put out called Buddhism and the Ecology. And
so
it shows where ecology is the center of Buddhism. They also have another one out called Confucianism and Ecology.
Wow.
And it shows where, guess what, ecology is the center of their belief. Taoism and ecology. Hinduism and ecology. Indigenous traditions.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. There. I got to see this.
Would that be the Indians, you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
And ecology. So that one. Wow. But then they also have Christianity and ecology, seeking the well-being of Earth and humans. And this whole practice, this whole series, if you read them all, you can almost open it up. And where it says Islamic, you can
just
take
trade
the same
out
page
the
other
word,
one and put Christian in
cut
there.
And paste.
Cut and paste.
Amazing.
The whole thing in there. But in each one of these books, and I've read every single one of them, and that's why I sell, they're very familiar. And if you read the back, every one of them is by different groups called to be the richest book of ecology or something like that. But
it's really amazing, and it's by Harvard, but you go through the front and you find out the groups that are financing this, and these are all different groups that get their funding from the U.S. government. And so the U.S. government is trying to push this green thing.
That tricky government.
Within it. Well, back in 2015, just last year, the EPA did a study on how to get religions involved with pushing the global warming agenda. They actually spent money on studies on how to do that. And you have local governments that are giving, they're putting fees on churches. One was out east called the rain tax. Depending on how much surface area you had covered on the ground, you were charged for that, a fee for that, because it was because of the runoff. So they told the churches if they would push the green agenda, they wouldn't be charged that fee.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is happening on the local. And the Catholic Church, the PCA, all the larger denominations are all taking money from the federal government to push the green agenda. So
unbelievable.
So not only do you have Congress sitting there trying to stifle the think tanks that are saying, hey, this is what science actually says about global warming, they're going in through people's faith to make it a religion.
The left has always used that approach, the carrot and the stick, you know? And they've always come up with these ideas, and they will put sanctions if you don't believe what they believe.
Right.
They will
punish
put sanctions on. They will punish you. And when they say stick, they mean it.
Yep.
You know, they will put you in jail. This is, again, what we go back to Putin.
Yep. And here's the problem I have with this, folks, is I don't know how many people are there familiar with the Emergent Church. Mm-hmm. We had a gentleman out in Grand Rapids, Bell, Pastor Bell, he called himself, had 3,000 members in his church. And on his stage, he didn't call it a pulpit. I'm not going to offend him. He called it his stage. And they didn't have sermons. They had discussions. Mm-hmm. But
a talk.
Yeah, a talk, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had a bowl of water. They had a box of dirt, and they had a cross. And he says, we are baptized into our faith by this water. And when the scripture says God so loved the world, and he picks up a handful of dirt, this is what he meant. He didn't mean you or us. He means he loves the earth, and our faith should be taking care of this earth. And then he goes to the cross, and he says, in the cross, if you have pay any attention to the cross, that shows divine child abuse. So all of a sudden, whole 3,000 Christian church is being told that God so loves the dirt that he wants us to take care of it, and we should pay no attention to the cross. Mm-hmm. And he pushed this really strong green initiative. He now lives out in California pushing the green initiative.
Wow, perfect state for him.
Yeah, perfect. We have a call from Walter. Walter, I'm going to put you on, but I know you want to talk about a prior caller, and I prefer, unless the other caller can be on to defend himself, not do so. So why don't we just go straight to your comment about Newt Gingrich?
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
I know it, brother, but, you know, I wouldn't let anybody call and talk about you unless you were able to defend yourself there, too.
I wasn't going to mention any name. I just mentioned it.
Let's talk about Newt. Let's talk about Newt.
But let me say this real quick. Can I say something real quick?
He's good. I like this.
You know, I guess that was the gospel. This person was talking, lining up with the gospel of LeBron James. Okay. That's
No. I'm gonna defend right now.
Okay.
I firmly believe that if you do something that you feel is a sin, that it is, and we should not cause a brother to stumble. So if
Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal. That's why I had to say something. But that's a different subject. I respect you on that.
All right.
But
I hear you, Walter.
Hey, I get him some other time. Okay. Another program. Hey, check this out, though. Newt Gingrich. Did you hear the latest comment he made about Sharia law and what we need to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the
I thought
people
that was
here
great.
That believe in Sharia.
Mm-hmm. I certainly did hear it, and I totally agree with it. But what people do not understand is if you are a practicing Muslim, you believe in Sharia law.
If I'm not mistaken, especially if you ask the former Muslims that comes on this Christian station, ABN, I'm pretty sure you heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
They do not play around. In fact, they went as far as to say we should not let one Muslim join our military because you can't trust them. And they included 100% of them. If you want to get any wisdom, and knowledge, you talk to one of those former Muslims, they'll break it down to you. But anyway, I agree with Newt Gingrich 100%, and the saddest part about it is you had these talk shows, these national talk show so-called conservative people criticizing him, saying, well, I think he crossed the line when he said that. He's a little bit over the top. What's wrong? What's over the top of what he said about that? That's the truth.
I don't. Hey, Walter, you bring something to mind, and I'm going to have to talk about this. We have 10 minutes left. Thank you for your call. Always a good call. Always a fun call. I appreciate it. You always bring a smile to my face. Remembering those that were Muslim that converted to Christian faith, I have a very dear friend. He changed his name to a Christian name. He goes by the name Cephas now. He's named himself after Peter. He says,
wow.
The more he studied, Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth, and he felt that he does the same thing quite often. So he changed his name to Cephas. He was going to go to seminary over here. He came over here. He was shocked what he saw in the American church. I talked about this the last time I was on. So he wanted to go back where he felt people were worshiping God rather than other things.
Right.
And he went back to Turkey. And he's in Turkey right now. And that church started out, I've told this story on the air, that church started out with 10 people. That church now has over 1,000 people. They proudly, at this point, show the cross on their building. But they have a president in Turkey that is Islamic State friendly.
Right.
Yes.
And the reason for the overthrow is August 1st, the president of Turkey is going to replace all the secular generals that believe in keeping the government in Turkey secular. He's replacing them with pro-Islamic Islamist
generals. On August 1st?
On August 1st.
Wow.
This is why the coup happened last night.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people don't understand what's happening over there, and you're going to get a lot of different views of what's happening in Turkey. But understand this. If this president gets his way, Turkey will no longer be a secular Islamic country or Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
It will be another Iran, because his push is to go back to a full Islamic state, which means burqas for the woman, no education for the woman. Just take a look at what's happening right now in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan.
He's a friend of Obama's too, right?
Yeah, Obama says we need to stick by him.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are going to say stick by him because Turkey right now is the last Muslim, really safe house that we have in the Middle East. You can't really call Saudi Arabia a place for our military to go safely.
Right.
Turkey was getting along with us and giving us a place, so to speak. So, and them being a democratic. So it's really a dirty democratic system they have over there.
Democratic, wink, wink.
Wink, yeah. Air quotes, whatever thing else you want to put behind it. Pretty much it's the president owns the Democratic Party, and he's going to be reelected. It's one of those types of democracies. So our president says, hey, we got to stand by the democracy. He was elected by the people. Well, yeah, but look into the type of democracy. But Turkey is going to be another form of Iran, and we need to keep that country in prayer. Why? Because there is a strong Christian church that is really developing in Turkey right now, and they're standing strong in their faith. My friend Cephas, he actually went into Iraq, smuggled 50 Christians out, and got them over to Turkey that's going in that church.
Wow.
When he went over there, I told him the story about 5 missionaries that went into South America that were killed by the tribe, and these 5 missionaries didn't take guns in with them. And I says, because we're ready to meet the Lord, and they're not. So when he went into Iraq, he told his friends that went with him, we are not taking any guns. We know the Lord. We're prepared. They are not. So they went into Iraq with no weapons, smuggled 50 Christians out of Iraq, back into Turkey. This is the type of faith this man has. This is his character. You want to measure a man by the content of his character? Mm-hmm. This man has character. This church is going to be persecuted, like we see in many other countries. It starts becoming more and more real when you all of a sudden know somebody that's involved with it. And Turkey's in real trouble. So you have anything, Sam?
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, if they get to the point that it is in Saudi Arabia where they don't allow Bibles, they don't allow crosses, they don't allow any of this stuff, but yet and still they export into our country mosques. And mosques with the doctrine that they teach with the Sharia and everything else. So this is why Newt Gingrich was on solid ground, as far as I'm concerned, when he said that we have to figure out a way to stop some of this Sharia infiltration into this country.
Give you an idea of what this infiltration can do. I was just talking to you about my friend Kafis, where he's at right now. When I first met him and talked to him, he told me, being in Turkey, he says, well, I'm a type of Muslim that enjoys a good bacon cheeseburger, all right? Which I'm telling you, it breaks every one of their dietary laws, every one of them.
Sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, it does. So, but then he converted. If the Islamic State takes over and it becomes a full Muslim Islamic State, he will be killed as an apostate.
Yes, yes.
As well as any of them that they brought to the Lord.
And don't think anybody out there believe that that won't happen, because you heard him say that there's going to be some harsh punishment for those people that tried this coup.
The coup, right, yeah. Right. So, and we know what that's going
to
be.
He's telling you right now, there's going to be a bloodbath. That's exactly what I believe.
And isn't it interesting how our president is always on the wrong side of these things, siding with the wrong person?
Well, our country, when I say our country, I'm talking about our government, has been on the wrong side of history quite a few times over the last 7-plus years.
Yeah, for sure.
But the president is so far on the wrong side of it. How do you put in 93% or 97% of all of the people out of Syria are Muslims, and there is a big Christian component in that country, and none of them are getting out. Mm-hmm. What is the deal there?
Right.
I mean, so he's really on the wrong side of that. He's supposed to be Christian. You would think that that would be at the top of the list.
To quote Arsenio Hall, it's things that make you go,
Yeah, we're all. That's exactly what I was thinking about it. Hey, I want to read a Bible verse. I know you do.
Hey, don't steal my high road. Hijacking the high road?
No, I'm not going to call it high road. I'm going to call it the lift you up road.
Derek, totally does it different. Sound like the totally high different. Road? It sounds completely like the high road. If you start playing a gospel tune at the end, I'm going to know that you're. Are you playing a gospel tune at the end too?
No, not at all.
But that's a good idea.
But I like that idea.
My show has been hijacked.
If you can find the song, Amazing Grace. You talked about abortion, Black Lives Matter, and everything else, and I say all lives matter. And this is why I want to read this. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. All lives matter. And I think when we talk about Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, every life matter, I'm going to take the more biblical route and say all lives matter. It may be racist to those in the Black Lives Matter group to say that.
Yeah.
But I think all lives matter.
It shouldn't be, because they clearly do.
Yeah.
All right, and really, I was going to have him play Amazing Grace. Let's see if he ever found it. No, he didn't find it. He didn't.
You can always take the pattern of my show and copy it. There we go. I hear something. Imitation is the best form of flattery, right?
Yeah, sure. That song
that
will
is
work.
Not Amazing Grace.
That is what not is that? Amazing Grace. That's rock and roll. That's
even
music
close
from the
to
devil.
Amazing Grace.
That's music from the devil. I bet you.
Gary is down there in Florida going,
what did I do?
What
did I do here? Hey, folks, I'm going to be heading down to the Roadhouse, Burroughs Roadhouse, after this for a cheeseburger. We talked about cheeseburgers.
Cool.
That's where I'm heading.
I think we're going to follow. Sounds good.